by a route obscure and lonely, haunted by ill angels only, where the Eidolon named Night on a black throne reigns upright. I have reached these lands but newly from an ultimate dim Thule, from a wild, weird clime that lieth sublime out of space, out of time. Bottomless vales and boundless floods and chasms and caves and titan woods with forms that no man can discover for the dews that drip all over, mountains toppling evermore into seas without a shore, seas that restlessly aspire, surging unto skies of fire, lakes that endlessly outspread their lone waters, lone and dead, their still waters still and chilly with the snows of the lulling lily. By the lakes that thus outspread their lone waters lone and dead, their sad waters sad and chilly, with the snows of the lulling lily, by the mountains near the river murmuring lowly, murmuring ever, by the gray woods, by the swamp where the road and the newt encamp, by the dismal tarns and pools where dwell the ghouls, by each spot the most unholy, in each nook most melancholy, there the traveler meets aghast sheeted memories of the past, shrouded forms that start and sigh as they pass the wanderer by, white-robed forms of friends long given in agony to the earth and heaven. For the heart whose woes are legion, 'tis a peaceful, soothing region. For the spirit that walks in shadow, 'tis an El Dorado. But the traveler, traveling through it, may not, dare not openly view it. Never its mysteries are exposed to the weak human eye unclosed. So wills its king, who hath forbid the uplifting of the fringed lid. And thus the sad soul that here passes beholds it but through darkened glasses. By a route obscure and lonely, haunted by ill angels only, where an Eidolon named Night on a black throne reigns upright, I have wandered home but newly from this ultimate dim Thule. You're listening to CICK 93.9 Smithers Community Radio, broadcasting from the unceded Cassia House territory of the Gidimden Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. My name is Gavin Smith. You're listening to The Underword, thanks to our sponsor, Bugwood Bean. And we are today, in the lead up to Halloween, appropriately, I think, covering Edgar Allan Poe as we explore the connections between poetry and contemporary music. You were just listening to Dreamland by Edgar Allan Poe. And in case you didn't know, which I didn't, Thule, which is a word that is used more than once in that poem, in addition to being a roof rack, which is what I know it from, is derived from Greek and Latin, and it refers to the northernmost parts of the habitable world known at that time. So there you go. Today we are reading from the book Tales and Poems of Edgar Allan Poe from the Smithers Library. Shout out to them. It's got some illustrations, which is nice for me, not for you. Edgar Allan Poe, he was born in Boston in 1809. He was orphaned at the age of three. He eventually rose to prominence as a leading man of letters in America. He was known for his poetry, for his short fiction, as well as his literary criticism, before his untimely death under mysterious circumstances at the age of 40. According to the Poetry Foundation, quote, "It was while he prepared for his second marriage that Poe, for reasons unknown, arrived in Baltimore in late September of 1849. On October 3rd, he was discovered in a state of semi-consciousness. He died 4 days later without regaining the necessary lucidity to explain what had happened during the last days of his life." Obviously, a very sad end at that age. Also, somewhat fitting for Poe's writing, known for its mystery, grim outlook, occult. So we're going to be covering him today. We're going to start, actually, with a song and an album that draws reference to Poe's poem Annabel Lee. Now the poem, which I'm not going to read in full, is told from the perspective of a young man who sleeps at the seaside tomb of his dead lover. And the final stanza of that poem includes the line, "For the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabel Lee." And the band The Witches drew from those lines for the title of their 2014 album Annabel Dream Reader. And they also reference Annabel in the single Crying Clown. So we're going to go now to The Witches with Crying Clown. Catch my breath. That was Crying Clown by The Witches. And because we're covering Edgar Allan Poe, I have to do it. I'm going to read The Raven. It is probably Poe's best-known work for good reason. It is excellent. What we're going to do, it's a little different because you probably heard The Raven before. If not in high school, then maybe on The Simpsons or in one of the many other pop culture references that are that have referenced The Raven. So we're going to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to read The Raven to the song Descent into the Maelstrom by the band Cultus Sabbati. Cultus Sabbati was a noise music trio that was active between 2006 and 2013. They actually performed their music ritually inside of a circle with their musical equipment and recording devices inside the circle and the amplifiers outside. And the band never revealed their identities, but in a rare interview with Pitchfork, they stated that the title of their album, Descent into the Maelstrom, was taken from the Edgar Allan Poe story of the same name. And so the title track from that album, Descent into the Maelstrom, will be playing in the background while I'm doing the reading of The Raven. You might be able to hear it now. It's kind of weird, creepy noise, which feels appropriate. So here we go. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door, only this and nothing more. Ah, distinctly I remember, it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my book's surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. and the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, 'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more. Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. Sir, said I, or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into the darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortals ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore. This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, Lenore. Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, something louder than before. Surely, said I, surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then where thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind and nothing more. Open here I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such name as nevermore. But the raven sitting lonely on that placid bust spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther then he uttered, not a feather then he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. Then the bird said, nevermore. Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, doubtless, said I, what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore, of never, nevermore. But the raven, still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then, upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er she shall press, nevermore. Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer swung by seraphim, whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God hath lent thee by these angels, he hath sent thee respite, respite and nepenthe from the memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh quaff this kind nepenthe and forget the lost Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempest sent or whether tempest toss thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if with the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels named Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels named Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that a word, our side of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked, upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeing of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore. That was The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. And now we're going to do something totally different, which is an album by Lou Reed. We're actually not going to spend as much time on it as I hope to spend on it, because, so imagine you're in my shoes, you're looking for music that's related to Edgar Allan Poe, and you find that Lou Reed of the Velvet Underground and of Walk on the Wild Side, well known, has written an album, an entire album called The Raven, dedicated to Edgar Allan Poe. And not only has Lou Reed done this, on that album are the likes of David Bowie, Anani of Anani and the Johnstons, Willem Dafoe, and Steve Buscemi doing readings. I was very, very excited to learn this. I thought, you know, I could just do a whole show on this album. This is amazing. The difficulty is that the album is very, very bad. It is unfortunately bad, and I say that as a Lou Reed fan and as someone who came to this album wanting to love it. I did. I wanted to love it. It is not good, I'm sorry to say. So we will, I'll give you just a little taste of what's going on in this album, because it is weird. It's a very weird album. There's no doubt about that, but not really weird in a good way, unfortunately. We'll play just a very brief cut from one of the leading tracks called Edgar Allan Poe, just so you get a flavor of, well, what I'm talking about.
These are the stories of Edgar Allan Poe, not exactly the boy next door. Tell your tales of heart and he'll play with your mind. If you haven't heard of him, you must be dead or blind. These are the stories of Edgar Allan Poe, not exactly the boy next door.
Yes, that's right. I'm turning it off. I'm sorry. He rhymes Edgar Allan Poe with not exactly the boy next door. You heard that right. Although he says door, but that's the intention, which feels wrong. And then the readings, which in theory should be great, are also not. And he changes some of the words of Edgar Allan Poe for no apparent reason. So this is actually one of the better ones. I'll just give you a taste of it. This is Willem Dafoe reading The Conqueror Worm. I'll just give you a few seconds of this guy.
Lo, it's a gala night, a mystic throng bedecked, sitting in the theater to see a play of hopes and fears, while the orchestra breathes fitfully the music of the spheres.
So there you go. I mean, Willem Dafoe has got a pretty good voice for that, I have to say. I just don't understand why Lou Reed changes some of the words. And then there's Steve Buscemi, who really should be great at this. And you know, he's doing his darndest. I feel like Lou Reed did not set them up for success. he then inexplicably appears as a sort of lounge lizard for a Broadway song, which is unsurprisingly called Broadway Song, which sounds a little bit like this.
I'd like to thank all you people for showing up tonight. Sorry about the weather. Let's have a big hand for my longtime accompanist, Manfred Gooseberry. Hey, Goose. Take a bow, relax. Be comfortable. Have a cocktail in the poo-poo lounge. And let us entertain you.
So there you go. That's all you're going to get. I'm sorry. I can't. It's really not very good. Greatest respect to Lou Reed. Done a lot of great songs. He actually, he reimagined some of his older songs on the album, some of which are quite good. The Bed being one example. But I think that's kind of telling of the album that the best pieces are him reworking songs that he's already written, with, I might say, no real apparent connection to Edgar Allan Poe, which the album is about. So, anyways, now you've heard a little bit of it. You know what it's all about. I mentioned Enony and the Johnsons. We're going to be returning to them later. But there was another weird Edgar Allan Poe album that came out a little bit before. So Lou Reed's came out in 2004. In 1997, there was another weird Edgar Allan Poe album, and this one was called Closed on Account of Rabies, which is a great name, based on named after one of his short stories. And this features Poe's work set to music, with readings from the likes of Christopher Walken, Deborah Harry of Blondie, and Iggy Pop, who we've previously covered in the show on Walt Whitman. We're going to go with a performance of by Jeff Buckley, of Poe's poem Ulalume, which I was going to do anyways. It's a good poem. But Jeff Buckley does it better than me. And also, the album was actually dedicated to Jeff Buckley because he drowned shortly before the album was released. So this is Jeff Buckley reading Ulalume.
The skies, they were ashen and silver. The leaves, they were crisped and sere. The leaves, they were withering and sere. It was night in the lonesome October of my most immemorial year. It was hard by the dim lake of Auber in the misty mid-region of Weir. It was down by the dank tarn of Auber, in the ghoul-haunted woodland of Weir. Here once through an alley titanic of Cyprus I roamed with my soul, of Cyprus with Psyche, my soul. These were days when my heart was volcanic as the scoriac rivers that roll, as the lavas that restlessly roll their sulfurous currents down Yannick in the ultimate climbs of the pole, that groan as they roll down Mount Yannick in the realms of the boreal pole. Our talk had been serious and sober, but our thoughts, they were palsied and sere. Our memories were treacherous and sere, for we knew not the month was October, and we marked not the night of the year. Ah, night of all nights in the year. We noted not the dim lake of Auber, though once we had journeyed down here. We remembered not the dank tarn of Auber, nor the ghoul-haunted woodland of Weir. And now, as the night was senescent, and star dials pointed to morn, as the star dials hinted of morn, at the end of our path a liquescent and nebulous luster was born, out of which a miraculous crescent arose with a duplicate horn. Astarte's bediamonded crescent, distinct with its duplicate horn, and I said, she is warmer than Dian. She rolls through an ether of sighs, She revels in a region of sighs. She has seen that the tears are not dry on these cheeks, where the worm never dies, and has come past the stars of the lion to point us the path to the skies, to the Lethean peace of the skies. Come up in despite of the lion to shine on us with her bright eyes. Come up through the lair of the lion with love in her luminous eyes. But Psyche, uplifting her finger, said, sadly, this star I mistrust. Her pallor I strangely mistrust. Ah, hasten. Ah, let us not linger. Ah, fly, let us fly, for we must. In terror she spoke, letting sink her wings until they trailed in the dust. In agony sobbed, letting sink her plumes till they trailed in the dust. Till they sorrowfully trailed in the dust. I replied, this is nothing but dreaming. Let us on by this tremulous light. Let us bathe in this crystalline light. Its sibyllic splendor is beaming with hope and in beauty tonight. See, it flickers up the sky through the night. Ah, we safely may trust to its gleaming and be sure it will lead us aright. We surely may trust to a gleaming that cannot but guide us aright, since it flickers up to heaven through the night. Thus I pacified Psyche and kissed her, and tempted her out of her gloom, and conquered her scruples and gloom, and we passed to the end of the vista, but were stopped by the door of a tomb, by the door of a legended doom. And I said, what is written, sweet sister, on the door of this legended tomb? She replied, Ulalum, Ulalum, 'tis the vault of thy lost Ulalum. Then my heart, it grew ashen and sober, as the leaves that were crisped and sere, as the leaves that were withering and sere. And I cried, it was surely October, on this very night of last year, that I journeyed down here. That I brought a dread burden down here, on this night of all nights in the year. Oh, what demon has tempted me here? Well, I know now this dim lake of Auber, this misty mid-region of Weir. Well, I know now this dank tarn of Auber, this ghoul-haunted woodland of Weir. Said we then, the two then, ah, can it have been that the woodlandish ghouls, the pitiful, the merciful ghouls, to bar up our way and to ban it from the secret that lies in these wolves, from the thing lies hidden in these wolves, have drawn up the specter of a planet from the limbo of lunary souls, this sinfully scintillant planet from the hell of the planetary souls.
That was Jeff Buckley performing. I said Ulalume, he says Ulalume, which I guess makes more sense because it rhymes. In any event, that was Jeff Buckley doing it. We're going to squeak in one more because it's my personal favorite for this episode. It's The Lake by Anani and the Johnsons. Anani performed on Lou Reed's album, as I mentioned, but around the same time, in 2004, 2005, Anani and the Johnsons released their own single called The Lake. The Lake is a poem by Edgar Allan Poe. And the lyrics to the song are simply the poem. So I'm not going to read it to you. I'm going to let you listen to Anani and the Johnsons. Don't know why I keep saying that. Anani and the Johnsons perform it for you. We're going to go out on this one. Have yourselves a great night.
to haunt of the wider the spot. The witch I could not love less. So lovely was the loneliness. Black rock bound, and tall trees that towered around. But when the night had thrown a pall upon that spot, as upon all, the wind would pass me by. Still melody, my infant spirit would wake to the terror of the lonely. My infant spirit would wake to the terror of the lonely. Terror was no fright, but a tremulous delight. Then the feeling undefined, springing from a darkened mind. Death was in that poison wail, meaning skull for fitting grave. Spring to his dark imagining, whose wild ring thought could even make in needing that dim lamp. But when the night has thrown a pall upon that spot, and upon all, infant spirit would awake to the terror that alone lay. My infant spirit would awake to the terror.